Welcome back. In this lesson, we're taking a base idea that starts in session view and turning it into a proper arrangement view drop in Ableton Live 12, with a focus on driving jungle style mid-bass. Not just a loop, not just a clip dump into the timeline, but a real performance that evolves, breathes, and hits like a finished record. The big idea here is simple. Build the bass like a conversation with the break. In drum and bass, especially jungle and rollers, the bass is never truly alone. It lives with the drums. So if your bass is too constant, it flattens the groove. If it's too busy, it starts fighting the snare, chewing up the low mids, and stealing the energy that should be coming from the drums. What we want is controlled pressure. We'll stay inside Ableton stock tools and use them in a way that feels musical, practical, and mix-aware. By the end, you should have a 16, 32, or even 64-bar drop section with a mono sub, an animated mid-bass, clear phrasing, and automation that actually changes the identity of the sound from section to section. Let's start by building the bass as a split system. On one MIDI track, load an instrument rack and create two chains. One chain is your sub, the other is your mid-bass. For the sub, keep it simple. Operator is perfect here. Use a sine wave, keep it clean, and don't add unnecessary movement. The goal is stability. On that sub chain, make sure it stays mono. Use utility and set the width to 0% if you need to lock it in. The mid chain is where the attitude lives. Use wave-eatable or analog, something harmonically rich, something with enough edge to carry the character of the drop. You can go with a saw-based or square-based source, then shape it with saturator, overdrive, or roar. That mid layer can move, distort, widen a little, and get nasty without destabilizing the low end. That separation is what keeps the drop sounding big instead of muddy. A good rule here is to high pass the mid chain somewhere around 90 to 130 Hz, depending on the patch. Leave room for the sub. If you need to low pass the sub a little, you can, but often the simpler the sub chain is, the better. Keep the low end boring in the best possible way. Now let's write the actual phrase in session view. Start with a 1-bar or 2-bar MIDI clip that already feels like a roller. Don't think of this as a full composition yet. Think of it like a spoken line. A bass phrase should have a rhythm, a pause, and a reply. In other words, questions and answers. Maybe the first bar gives you a short hit on beat 1, a push before beat 2 or 3, then a rest so the snare and break can breathe. The second bar can answer with a slightly higher note, a different accent, or a shorter stab at the end of the phrase. In jungle and DNB, the rhythm is often more important than the harmony. You don't need a complicated chord movement. You need a bass line that locks to the groove and creates tension. If you're in a dark key like F minor, for example, a root note and a fifth can go a long way. Then maybe use a semitone move or a chromatic answer note to add that underground bite. Keep the clip looping in session view. Then duplicate it into 2 or 3 variations. In one version, shorten the note. In another, change the octave of the answer hit. In another, remove one note entirely. That tiny amount of variation gives you performance options before you ever touch the arrangement. Now let's shape the tone. For the mid-bass, start with a patch that has motion but isn't already overcooked. We want to build the digression in stages. Use wave-eatable or analog, then add an auto filter, a saturator with soft clip on, and if you want a harder modern edge, roar. The point is not constant wobble. The point is controlled movement. A really useful range for saturator drive is somewhere around 3 to 8 dB, depending on how clean or nasty you want the tone. For the filter, automate the cutoff roughly between 250 Hz and 2.5 kHz, again depending on the phrase. Keep resonance moderate unless you want that more nasal neuro-style bite. You can also automate wave-eatable position or pitch slightly on a few notes to make the phrase feel alive without turning it into chaos. And this is where a lot of producers get it wrong. They reach for more distortion before the phrase is even working. Don't do that yet. First, make sure the rhythm works. Then add attitude. Now bring in the drums and hear how the bass interacts with the break. This part matters a lot. In DNB, the bass should not compete with every snare hit. If your bass lands right on top of the snare transient all the time, the drop starts losing punch. You want the bass to leave space for ghost notes, snares, and little break details. Let the drums do their thing. The bass should answer them, not smother them. Use EQ8 if you need to clean things up. If the bass and break are piling up in the low mids, cut a little around 180 to 350 Hz. If things feel boxy, try a narrow dip around 250 Hz. If the mid bass gets harsh, a gentle cut around 2.5 to 5 kHz can smooth it out. On the drum bus, a light glue compressor can help preserve snap, but don't smash the life out of the break. Use EQ and clip gain first if you can. This is one of the core principles in heavy DNB. The groove comes from tension between drums and bass. If the bass fills every gap, the track loses bounce. If you leave enough space, the break feels faster and the bass feels heavier. Once the loop feels strong in session view, it's time to perform it into arrangement view. You can jam the scene launches and automation in session view for a couple of minutes, then capture that performance into the timeline. Or you can drag the clips across and build the arrangement from there. Either way, this is the moment where the idea becomes a record. Think in phrases. A strong DNB drop might open with 4 bars of filtered tension, then give you 8 bars of the main statement, then another 8 bars of variation, then a short switch up, then a return with more energy. You don't need to keep the bass exactly the same for 32 bars. In fact, you really shouldn't. This is where arrangement view automation comes in. Don't just automate volume. Automate identity. Use filter cutoff to open and close the sound. Automate saturator drive or roar amount to change intensity. Use width on the mid chain if you want the bass to feel wider in one section and tighter in another. Use send effects like delay or echo for transition throws, not constant wash. Keep the sub almost untouched. The sub should stay firm and reliable. A good approach is to make each phrase feel like a new sentence. For example, the first 8 bars can be darker, narrower, and more filtered. The next 8 can be a little more open and aggressive. Then maybe the final 4 bars before a switch up pull back in density or drive, so the next section lands harder. You can even do 1 bar delay throws on the last hit before a section change to create a little tail into the snare. Keep those throws subtle. In drum and bass, too much delay can clutter the drop fast. If you want the arrangement to feel more advanced, use call and response. Duplicate the main bass clip. Then create contrast by removing a few notes, changing the octave of one answer note, or shortening the last hit in a phrase. For instance, bars 1 to 4 might give you the main motif, bars 5 to 8 might answer with fewer notes, bars 9 to 12 might open the filter and get more aggressive, and bars 13 to 16 might drop out a little or switch into a halftime feel for contrast. Tiny changes can make a huge difference. A single high stab before the snare, a short mute before the drop returns, a reverse cymbal, or a little noise swell can all keep the section feeling alive. If the whole drop is one repeating idea with no structural shifts, the listener will hear the loop, not the record. Here's a really useful advanced trick. Resample your best moments. Once the arrangement starts working, bounce the bass phrase to a new audio track. Consolidate the strongest 2-bar or 4-bar sections. Edit the starts and tails by hand if needed. This gives you a few benefits. It can clean up timing. It can make transitions tighter. It can reduce CPU. And, maybe most importantly, it lets you treat the bass like audio performance instead of endless MIDI tweaking. If you want, keep one audio clip for the main phrase, one for a more distorted variation, and one for a filtered or breakdown style version. That makes arrangement decisions faster and more intentional. Now let's talk about mix discipline. Before you call the bass done, check it in mono. The sub should absolutely be mono. The mid bass should not be so wide that it smears the center of the mix. Make sure the kick and snare are still dominant. Keep an eye on headroom, too. While you're arranging, it's smart to leave the master peaking around -6 dB so you've got room to breathe. If the bass is too spiky, use gentle compression rather than crushing it. If the kick loses impact, carve a small slot in the bass around the kick's fundamental instead of simply turning the bass down. And if the low mids are getting crowded, remove more before you add more. In dark DNB, less clutter often sounds bigger. A few common mistakes to avoid here: making the bass too wide, writing a line that competes with every snare hit, over-distorting before the phrase is proven, shipping session view and going straight to arrangement view, or letting the low mids pile up until the whole drop feels foggy. Also, if every bar sounds the same, you probably need automation. Even a single filter move or drive change can give the section much more life. If you want to push the sound darker and heavier, there are a few extra moves you can try. Use roar or saturator in a parallel style layer on the mid chain for controlled aggression. Try a band pass movement on the mid bass for a more threatening, neuro-leaning tone. Add a quieter, scarier version of the bass with more distortion and shorter note lengths. Or use very subtle auto pan on the mid layer only, just enough to create motion, without smearing the center. You can also get a lot of character from phrasing. Phrase inversion is a great one. Keep the rhythm the same, but flip the contour so the second half of the bar rises instead of falling. Octave displacement is another useful trick. Move only the answer note up an octave for one bar every 8 bars. It adds lift without turning the bass into a lead. Rhythmic truncation, where you remove the last note on a selected bar, can create a much stronger pull into the next phrase. Small absences often hit harder than extra notes. And one more thing. Don't overquantize the life out of it. A little microgroove offset on a few selected notes can make the bass feel more human, especially against a swung break. Jungle has always had that slightly lived-in feel. You want pressure, not stiffness.